All right, we're back on Experts Unplugged. I'm Roger Quirtlebaugh. 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's time now to meet Don Cooper, the sales heretic. Don, welcome to Experts Unplugged.
Thank you, Roger. Great to be here.
So this heretic thing, what's this heretic? What's that mean?
A heretic is somebody who thinks for themselves. A heretic doesn't simply accept the conventional wisdom, but questions everything.
Oh, that's good. I must be a heretic in life.
A lot of people don't trust people.
Mm-hmm. And people say, you should be nice. And, because if you're too nice, people take advantage of you.
That can happen, absolutely.
So a sales heretic is somebody who, sees a customer coming in and says, I'll handle this the way I need to handle it?
In a sense.
Okay. Explain a little bit more then so I kind of get the gist.
Well, the term heretic came to me because I realized that a lot of what I teach salespeople flies in the face of conventional wisdom. I don't believe in things like never take no for an answer, or
so
always
these,
be closing.
All these seminars these companies send their sales guys to, how to be the hard salesman, you're like, uh-uh.
Yeah, there's still a lot of garbage out there that's being taught. It's very manipulative.
You kind of teach the ethical way of doing things.
Precisely.
All right.
Sales can and should be honorable, ethical, done with integrity. And people often don't realize it can be that way because the image so many of us have in our heads of what a salesperson is inherently unsavory and unpleasant.
So if you're the most ethical salesperson in the world and people are coming in, how do you discount the notion that they're coming in, they see you approach, and you might be the ethical and everything on the up and up, but they already have it embedded in their mind, oh, no, another salesperson. I mean, how do you convince the buyer that you really are legit? And when there's really good offerings out there, that it really is legit,
not just
a hard sell.
That's an excellent question. The first thing to do is to engage them. Whether you're a salesperson or a professional or a business owner, if you're interacting with a prospect, the first thing you want to do is to build some rapport with them and make it clear that you are there to serve them.
Again, in that aspect, though, when you're like people come up, hey, how you doing? You having a good day? Right off the bat, I think, oh, geez, here we go.
That's exactly correct.
What's the approach of the ethical person? What should they do to convince Roger that, you know, Roger's just in here looking for a pair of shoes or something, and then they start going off on something else? How do I know if they're really on the up and up?
It depends on the environment. If you're in a retail environment like you're describing and somebody's walking into your store and you're a salesperson on the floor or you're the sales manager, the way to greet them is not by saying, hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
And the old car salesman approach.
Exactly. You don't want to say, you know, can I help you? Because the answer is always,
I'm just looking.
Precisely. So the way to engage them when they walk in the door is to welcome them to your store and to ask them a question to which they're not expecting. And the question might be, what brings you in today?
What brings you in today? That's a good one.
Or, what can I do to help you? Or, what are you looking for?
But do you say, I'm here, if you need any help, I'll be right over here? Is that a good one, or is that like taking yourself out of the equation?
It depends on
there.
What their answer is. You All want right. to try to engage them and bring them in. So you might ask, have you been here before? And if they say yes, you can say, wonderful. What brings you in this time? If they say no, you can give them a quick overview of what's in the store, help them orient themselves in the store. Or you can ask them, well, what are you looking for? I can help you find it.
So kind of let them know you're there to help them without putting pressure on them to make a decision now type of thing.
Precisely.
Find out what they want, and maybe you can help them over in this. Okay, so let's go with Harley Davidson, who Tracy said you've worked with the people at Harley Davidson. Now, we're talking about the shops themselves.
Yes.
So they have a little seminar. You teach them, talk to them. What have you done with these guys? I mean, these guys are motorcycle salesmen. People walk in, they want to buy a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's an easy sell.
Because people know what they want.
Right. That wasn't the issue. The issue was helping them to sell more in the way of accessories, clothing, and service. Because people will often buy a bike, but they'll go somewhere else
to get them
serviced. Or they'll go somewhere else to get aftermarket parts. And what Harley wanted to do was to get more of their customers to spend more right there at the store.
So before, they were taught by other guys who are just doing what? Just saying, you know, be here. They come in, they're going to buy a motorcycle, and that's it.
Pretty much.
Get the commission from the cycle, and if they want a jacket or if they want, you know, the keychain or whatever, that's just a bonus.
Exactly.
So now you're teaching them kind of how to not only sell the motorcycle, but push the accessories.
Well, not so much push.
Wrong word?
Exactly.
Wrong word. What's the term we use
because
without pushing?
Push is what so many traditional stuff people do, and that's why we don't like them, because no one wants to have something pushed on them.
Oh, yeah, I know, especially me.
No one does. You're in the majority. You're like everybody else in that respect. Nobody likes having stuff pushed on them.
Okay, so you don't push. You
find out what it is they want and need. If they're
they came in to buy a motorcycle, they have no idea that there's other options out there.
Very often.
All right, I got my motorcycle finally.
They don't know what else they could have to enhance the experience.
Okay, here's a case in point. My daughter recently got a job at a shoe store, and I went in there and saw her and talked about her job. And so you just sell shoes and all that. She goes, oh, yeah, people come in for the shoes. Like, she went through your seminar already. People come in for the shoes, but I push the accessories on them. She's 16 years old. She's pushing socks, but not pushing. She's offering socks or whatever else they might have. So she must say was properly trained the right way, because accessories are what she wants. That's her goal, really, because the shoes will be purchased anyway. But it's the accessories that test what kind of a salesperson she is.
Right. The key is finding out what it is that particular customer wants and needs, and what else will help them enjoy what they're buying or make better use of what they're buying. I had an attendee at a seminar tell me a great story one time. He said his father had passed away, and he and his brother were responsible for the funeral arrangements. They had picked out his best suit to have him buried in, but the man did not have a good pair of shoes.
All right.
So the two of them went to Nordstrom to buy a pair of shoes for their father. They found a good pair. They took it up to the counter, and the clerk behind the counter was wrapping up the shoes and asked them, would you like to buy some shoe trees?
All right, which is the right approach, right?
Sure.
Not said, knowing no. The guy was dead.
Exactly. They said, no, no, thank you. She said, are you sure? Because they'll help extend the life of the shoe. They'll make the shoe last longer, be more comfortable. He said, no, you don't understand. These shoes are for our father. He just passed away. We're going to bury him in these shoes.
So he won't need the trees.
She said, oh, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. Do you need any socks?
And? Did they buy the socks?
And they looked at each other. They said, actually, yeah, we do. And so they bought a new pair of socks. But that's something they didn't think of. And that's part of the job of a salesperson, is to help the customer.
As opposed to, they got the shoes, now get out of here, right?
Right. What would happen if they got back home and realized then,
we need socks,
that he didn't have a good pair of socks? That's what a salesperson should do, is what is in the customer's interest? What will help the customer achieve whatever it is they want to do or need to do?
So all our lives, Don, the great salespeople, like I just mentioned, that I can sell ice to Eskimos, you don't see it that way.
No, to me, that's not a great salesperson. Why would you sell ice to Eskimos when you could sell ice in Phoenix? Part of the problem so many salespeople have, and a lot of businesses have these days, is they're trying to sell to the wrong people.
So they're using the pressure approach then.
Right.
Because Eskimos obviously don't need rice. Maybe they need rice. But they don't need ice because they already have ice. But still, if you can still sell an Eskimo ice, you must be putting so much pressure on them. And that's what they were grown into. That's what their sales seminars forced upon them. Be pressure, 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 and eventually they'll give in. Because it's all about the bottom line and selling the ice, getting rid of the ice.
It can happen. The thing is, for a salesperson, you're looking to get the best possible return on your time. Uh-huh. And if you're out prospecting and looking for customers, you want to go where your best prospects are. And most salespeople, most professionals, most business owners don't know who their best prospects are. So they're kind of marketing to everybody and prospecting everywhere without having a good idea of who is their ideal client, who is the person who is most likely to say yes to them.
But if somebody walks in the store, then they have to be flexible to handle any situation, as opposed to just going after them like they do everybody else.
Certainly.
So you kind of train them how to see what the people want, like you mentioned, ask what the people are interested in, and then go from there.
Absolutely.
And that way, not only will they buy something that day, hopefully, and maybe some accessories, but the key thing is, if you're genuine and nice, what happens? They come back, right?
Absolutely.
But if you force them to buy a refrigerator when they don't want one, they're going to say, I'm never coming back here again.
Yep.
But so it's a long-term goal, too.
Absolutely.
It's just earning people's trust, I think, is what it's kind of all about.
That's a huge part of it. When you've earned their trust, you can sell anything.
We're going to come back and talk with Don about earning people's trust and other techniques that maybe your salespeople should be learning, because nobody likes a hard sale. It's uncomfortable for people, but we all know that. We do it anyway. This is Experts Unplugged, Rocky Mountain Radio. We'll be back. We're back on Experts Unplugged. I'm Roger Quittlebaugh. And then, of course, Don Cooper, the sales heretic. Now, Dom, during the break, we were talking a little bit about car salesmen. That's how you get the bad rap, right? You think of a car salesman, you go onto a car lot because obviously you need a car, and these guys are there to meet you by the time your door slams. And you really don't want them, but what they do works because you walk off with a car.
It works sometimes, but it only works once. High pressure can work in some situations, but it's not really how you want it to work because you've got a customer who's not happy, and they're not likely to come back. They're not going to refer you.
What would it take for me to get you to drive this car off the lot today?
Because
they know if you leave, you're not coming back.
That's what their fear is.
They keep your keys. Go take a test drive. You give them your keys to your car. They keep them for you. They don't give them back.
That's
all
exactly
kinds of techniques.
It.
So do they go to like this car salesman school to learn all these techniques?
Unfortunately, yes. There's not just one school where they learn this stuff, but apparently that stuff's been taught for years and years, and it still is being taught. And that comes out of fear. It's all out of fear of losing the sale. They don't have enough confidence in themselves, their car, their dealership.
Whatever it takes type of attitude.
Right.
So if you walked into a car dealership and said, hey, I want to talk to your sales guys, would they laugh at you?
I don't know. They might. Depends on the...
So we're going to
change
the whole approach up. Here's what I have to offer. What would you tell them you have to offer? And you got all the car salesman guy with their attitudes listening to your approach. What do you think they're going to think about?
Hard to say. It depends on the person. And that's really a key with any kind of training. The impact of training depends more on an individual's mindset and attitude than anything else.
If they want to change or not.
Yeah. If they come into one of my seminars, for example, and they're excited to be there and they're looking forward to learning new stuff, then they'll get a lot out of it. If they walk in with a closed mind and they don't believe they can learn anything, they think they already know it all, then they're not going to learn anything because they've already shut me out.
Well, that makes sense. It's up to the individual to have an open mind about things. So when you have these seminars, I'm guessing younger people who are into it and want to know all approaches, they're more apt to adapt it, whereas some of the stubborn older guys who maybe have had success being the salesman, can you convince them too, though?
It's hard to convince them. What I try to do is to engage them in the program, and I let them know that it's going to be an interactive experience, so it's not me lecturing. And I let them know up front that I respect their knowledge, because I tell them right at the very beginning of every seminar, this is going to be an interactive experience, and I value their wisdom, and I want everybody else in the room to get the benefit of their experience. So I tell them, if you've got a story, if you have an idea, a question, an argument, to let me know. And I include them. I make it more of a discussion than a lecture, because a lot of times some of the best ideas do come from the audience.
All right, let's do a little role play here. I'm going to walk onto a car lot, and you went through your course and the way you train people, teach people, and you're a salesperson, and I'm going to be all prepared for the nitty-gritty guy, and you approach me, okay? So I walk in, I just close my door, I'm walking up, and you're walking up to me.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. You know, my truck's getting old. I'm kind of just looking today, but I'm looking for a new truck here.
Okay. Is there anything in particular you're looking for in your next truck?
Well, a new one like this old one here, but like a new model, you know, four-wheel drive, pretty much the same deal, another Tacoma like I have now.
Okay. What is it that you like most about the Tacoma?
Well, just that I've had the other one for so many years and so many miles that I don't want to change.
Okay.
So I'm kind of loyal.
Gotcha.
So just find me the right truck. I'm almost, you know, putty in your hand here. I'll probably buy.
Okay. That's easy enough.
All right. So that was too easy. I should be more difficult, right?
Yeah, you should.
All right. Okay. let's back up here. I just bought a truck from this guy. Didn't matter what he said.
See, look at
how good Don is. Right there. I tell you. In fact, I'll take two.
And you even invite him to your barbecue.
Yeah, so you have a barbecue? Dan, come on over. All right. I get out of the truck. I'm prepared for you. I don't really want a new truck, but I have to buy one, and I see you coming from a mile away. Oh, geez, here he comes. God, look at all seven of them up there. Here comes one of them. Now, two of them, they're fighting over me. I'm going to go out the back way here. I'm going to just start looking for the trucks here. Okay, that's a nice one. Oh, here he comes.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you? I'm just kind of looking, okay?
Quite all right. Welcome to Cooper Motors. Have you been here before?
I bought my last truck here, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't like the salesman. I mean, nothing against you, but I'm happy with my purchase and all that. I almost didn't come back because of the salesman. I figured enough time went by because the truck's so good. I'm doing it again. All right, well, never mind. The guy's convincing. Okay, so we'll continue. No, it's my first time here.
What brings you in today?
I'm looking for a truck.
Okay. Are you looking for a truck to replace the one that you've got?
Yeah, this one's a little old. Has too many miles. It's starting to leak a little bit. I think I need a new one, but probably a good time to buy right now.
Okay.
But I'm just looking today. I know there's a lot of – I'm checking all the newspapers and the ads and seeing who's offering me the best deals.
Absolutely. A deal is really important.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What are you looking for in your next truck?
Well, pretty much the same brand, same make. Just, stereo is important to me and four-wheel drive. And I need a truck liner, a bed liner in the back. Other than that, I like the Toyota brand, so I'm good with that.
Okay. You said you want something with a really good stereo. How much time do you spend in the truck per day?
I drive around. I have my side job, so I'm constantly in the truck there. Drive back and forth to work quite a few miles, so it's at least a couple hours a day probably.
Okay. About how many miles do you typically put on the truck in a year?
Way more than I should, probably in a year. Wow. I don't know, really. I never really figured it out per year, but, this one has. I've had it for almost 8 years, and it has 176,000 miles on it. So.
Okay.
There you go.
How important is the warranty of the truck to you?
I never really used the last one, so I guess it's important until it expires, and then those one guys always call me on the phone and want me to buy a brand new one, so I'm good. I'm a good mechanic myself, just in case, but these trucks really don't need them. Well, actually, they require a lot of maintenance and... So the warranty's not that important, but a good warranty is worth it, yeah.
Okay. How important is comfort?
Aren't you going to sell me a truck? What are you talking about?
I want to know what's important.
Comfort is important to peace, you. Peace of mind is key. If I get a brand new truck, same as this other truck, I'll be very happy.
Okay. Did you have a particular price range you wanted to stay within?
Oh, gee. Well, probably nothing over $20,000.
Okay. Did you want something brand new, or were you interested in potentially a used vehicle?
Either way, I want my payments to be right around, $250, $300, so I don't want to go over that. And this is all I have for a down payment is this other truck, so whatever we can make work there, that's all I want to do. If I can't make that happen, I'll find a place where I can.
Certainly. What else is important to you in your next truck?
Legroom.
Legroom, okay. And you said you wanted a bed liner. What kind of a bed liner would you like
to have? Just a plastic one so I could put my equipment in without scratching up the bed. Just a plastic one.
Okay.
I can get that anywhere, I guess.
Is there a particular color you were looking for?
I really like kind of burnt orange or gold. A gold truck would be nice.
Something.
But
gold?
I haven't seen these gold ones. I don't even know if they make them.
If there is one, we can look for you.
All right. Well, if not, like a, like a red, kind of like the one I have now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a particular deadline in which you need to have the new truck?
That depends on how much oil is left in this one, because it could conk out on me today or another 3 weeks.
Gotcha.
So sooner than later, I'm trusting.
All right.
All right.
That's most of the conversation right there.
That's it? So then I can just go home? Are you going to show me a truck now?
It depends. If I've got the truck on the lot that would work for you, I'd take you right to it.
And if you don't?
If I don't, then I'll take you in and we'll start doing some searching online.
All right. So that's it. There's no pressure.
No.
I didn't feel like I had to buy a truck today.
No. You should never feel that way.
So how do I know that these other guys that are in the same meeting here, they hear this approach and think, oh, no, that'll never work?
Part of the problem is most salespeople operate out of fear. They're afraid they're going to lose the sale. They're afraid they're going to lose their job. They're afraid of all kinds of things. And when you operate out of fear, you don't make good decisions. You don't take good actions. You don't say smart things.
And you don't take no for an answer.
Exactly. You need to be confident that you're going to be able to make the sale. You need confidence in your product, your company, and yourself.
And what just happened to me, I don't know if it happened to you, the listener, but what just happened to me was I went in there thinking, here we go. And by the time the conversation was over, I'm feeling like, this is going to be easy now. So immediately that fear in my side or that pressure to not get taken for a ride was eliminated just by that approach.
Precisely.
And I didn't even know if I was going to have a truck today or not.
And that's one of the keys is asking questions. Every time you as a salesperson ask a question, your prospect's defenses go down because they get more comfortable. Every time you start telling them stuff, the defenses go back up.
Ah, good points there. Ask as opposed to tell.
Absolutely.
People do not like being told you need to, you should, you need to, all that stuff. They want to be asked.
Precisely.
Find out about them. See, to me, anything ethical is a good approach to life because that's the way I kind of, expect to be treated.
We'd all like to be treated that way.
But you don't get it all over the place. Some people, you go into the same store three times. Sometimes you get people who don't even want to come near you. The other time, you get people who are and telling you what to do. And sometimes you might get the ethical one. So I guess your goal in life is to get the whole world trained the ethical way so life's a little bit easier when you're making a purchase.
Precisely. You should always approach sales with an attitude of respect for your customer. I got a phone call recently. I wrote a blog post on my blog, which is doncooper.com.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't ask about your webcast. So doncooper.com. Right. What will we find there?
You can find articles, other radio interviews, tips. My blog is on there. And I wrote a blog post just a few weeks ago about a sales call that I got. A woman called me up, started telling me who she was and what she did, and immediately tried to set an appointment with me. She said, I'll be in your area next week. Would Tuesday or Wednesday be better for you?
Uh-huh.
Didn't ask me if I needed what she had.
I get those all the time.
Didn't build any rapport, showed no respect for me, my needs, or my time.
That's the way they're trained, though. Well, this date or this date. And I've been to these seminars, and they say, yeah, you know, ask them this. That way they can't say no. They can only say one date or the other.
Right, and that's
but
not
you're
true.
Feeling
you
the
can
whole time.
Say no. I did say no.
I said
neither day is good.
People that call you up on the phone, these sales pitches. I'm still getting them. I'm on the no-call list. I still get them.
Yep.
People want to come out and sell me windows. They're at my door, knocking on my door. Hey, I'm just in town looking at windows. Can we climb up and take a look at your roof or whatever? And I say no, and they look at me like, what? I go, yeah, no, I don't want you knocking on my door, offering to fix my roof just because it just hailed.
Right.
Or windows because they look old. So and then they won't go away. And then they're calling you up. You take their card, people are bothering you. It's like, come on, I'll go to you when I want windows.
Exactly. I actually teach salespeople not to make pitches. A pitch is reserved for baseball, should not be in sales.
So how do you go out and attract business without being, you know, because people aren't going to want whatever you're selling. You wait. I mean, this is like retail, I'm sure it's going to work. But if you're doing like cold calls, trying to sell advertising on the radio station or you work for the window company, what's the approach there when you're randomly calling people on the phone, and no matter how nice you are, still it's a telephone call, and you're annoying somebody just because the phone rang?
It is possible to make a prospect happy that you called them out of the blue.
That I would like to hear, because I'm never happy when they call me. I mean, you get these people who can't pronounce your name, you get people who you can just tell they're reading, and then you stop them. You're reading that, aren't you? And no, you're still reading it, aren't you? And no. Huh? Oh, well, please call. No. Oh, that sounds good. And then it's like this, like a prepared speech.
Yep.
And it's like, are we stupid? What, are we bagels? We can't see this? But
they
go on the approach that people are going to feel sorry for them, or they're thinking they're getting a bargain they can't refuse, which I don't understand that.
Or they're thinking that it's a numbers game. They simply make this pitch to enough people, somebody will eventually say yes.
1 out of 100. But the whole thing is, the guys who are making these decisions and putting these scripts together, they're upstairs hiding in their suits
right.
In the conference room, and they hire all these yahoos who obviously need jobs to represent the company, and they don't even care about the company because they're hired to, you know, pick up the phone and make all these random phone calls, and they're misrepresenting the company. They're acting like idiots half the time. But the people that make the decisions know that.
Right. The people that write the scripts never actually read the scripts.
But they know
phone.
They know they're giving their own company a bad name, but just to get those 2 out of 100 phone calls that come through.
I
right?
think often they don't realize it. I don't think they're doing it consciously. I think that's the way.
Really,
been
you don't
taught.
Think so?
No, I think it's
when they're hiring people for not very much money to make these phone calls religiously.
I don't think they realize it has a negative impact on the image of their company.
Oh wow!
I think if they realized it, they wouldn't do it.
How can you not know them? I mean, these guys shouldn't be in the company they're in. They should be answering. They should be going through a good week of on the phone.
Well, if you look at how many companies are failing right now, you'll see a lot of that.
Is that a good approach, random phone calls?
Not random, no. I don't believe in random, because it's best to go after your best prospects, the people that are most likely to say yes.
Okay, so give me a topic. Tracy, give me a – what am I selling here? Anything. Come on.
How about advertising?
I'm selling advertising.
Very good advertising.
There you go. So I'm working at the radio station here. They say, Raj, we got a new gig for you. You're selling advertising. Here's a list of people in the neighborhood. Call them and start pushing advertising on them. And they give me this script. I'm Roger with Rocky Mountain Radio. Hey, we have a great package for, you know, if you so much. It'll give you so much airtime. And then what? Is that good? Is that bad?
That's bad.
Why?
Well, you first of all have no idea whether or not the prospect has a need for radio advertising. Would they
sure,
benefit?
You're just hoping.
Yeah, precisely.
But that's the way they're taught, though. Okay, so what's a different approach?
To figure out, first of all, who would most benefit from advertising
on
the
radio.
So
throw away the list that you were given.
Right.
And how do you find out who would benefit, though?
There's a system. And that's part of what I teach, is look at who, first of all, who are your best customers? Who are the people that are currently advertising on the radio station? What do they have in common? go after similar companies. When you know who it is that is currently benefiting from what you're selling, you can go after more people like that.
How important is social media?
Social media is very important, getting more important by the day.
And which ones do you recommend? Which sites or which?
There's sort of a big five, which is YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
So the big five there. And of those, I would say LinkedIn is probably good for doing what you do, but they're all good?
They're all good. They're all useful in different ways. The key is to get on those sites, yeah, and learn how to use them.
So if you're on Twitter and somebody says, hey, I'm off to bed, that's kind of useless, right?
Precisely.
But if you use it, utilizing people have questions and you go back and forth there. I started off on Facebook, and I started getting contacts from people that were useless to me. Old friends. Friends here, friends there. And I'm thinking, and it was for my mobile DJ business. I have on the side a mobile DJ business. And these guys aren't interested in my mobile DJ business. They just want to say hi to me. So how do you balance all that? How do you say no? So I just eventually went off.
Well, you can create two different Facebook accounts. Well, one as a personal account just for you personally, and then a separate account for your DJ business.
I did the business, and they were still coming after me personally because my name was up there.
If that happens, send them to your personal page.
Say, I don't even have one.
I've got a personal site. Friend me on that site instead.
So social media is a good thing if done properly.
Absolutely.
And you're using all of them, I'm guessing?
Oh, yes.
And YouTube, what, you have some of your seminars up there YouTube?
I've got some video clips on YouTube. I've got a MySpace and a Facebook page. I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Twitter.
All right, that wraps up Experts Unplugged on your Monday. Hope that was beneficial to you.